We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, it could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back to another joyous episode of Coronations of Bangarangs and Daggers. I am Patrick Gerhardt, and with me always is my co-host, Nate McHugh. Nate, we are 2 hours apart, but I feel that you are right next door when we do this podcast, don't you?
That's the wonders of technology, I guess, isn't it?
You know. It's great. It changes up every week. You got to do little software updates every once in a while, but we're 2 hours away. You're just south of Omaha, and I am somewhere in northeast Nebraska, and we can still pull this off on a regular basis. Well, this is probably the first Sunday night we've done it since we started this, though. So,
yeah, and I about
didn't make this podcast home, so. That we've actually pulled off.
Yeah, and I about didn't make it home because we had softball and we went out to eat with our friends, and then we got in my car and it was 9 o'clock. I was like, oh, we got to get home.
Did you guys win?
Oh no, it was the third inning, and I got my first at bat, and I told the ump, I said, well, you know, if I'm out here, then we didn't even get through our order in three innings. And then I got on base, but then the next person was the third out, and it was not good.
Ooh.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're in the recreational softball part, but some of these teams must have a different definition of what's recreational softball and what's competitive, because they probably should be playing competitive softball.
Is it slow or fast pitch?
Slow.
Wow. Usually it's a fast pitch leagues where you get the steroids.
Oh, not in Omaha, at least. I mean, there are guys, I'm like, you should not be playing here. You should be playing in a different league, because we're just a bunch of friends that just do it to get together, where they're like I remember last week I was pitching, and this girl, I was gonna walk her, and I threw a ball, and she just kind of calmly, softly swung through just so she wouldn't get walked, and so she got a strike, right? And I thought, oh, I should just walk her just because it kind of pissed me off, and I just gave her one right down the middle, and she hits it off the wall. You got a double. You know, it's
like you and your crew, you guys pull up, you got the beer coolers, you guys open them up, you're cracking them, you guys got the little hibachi grill on the back of the tailgate, and then the opposing team pulls up, I take it, and they've got, you know, like beautifully pressed matching uniforms.
Absolutely.
Plenty of Gatorade.
They got the backpacks. The backpacks.
Way more ass flaps than you want to admit.
Yeah, they have the backpacks that are meant for softball bats. And when you see that, I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Borrowed this one from my kid.
Yeah, we're in the lowest division. What are you doing here? You know, and then they kill us. It's like, oh, I sure hope you guys had fun. It's a lot better than it used to be. It used to be I would throw a pitch, they would hit it, and I would just start walking home because I knew it was going to go to the wall. And then there's going to be a play at home plate, but it's gonna be a long season.
Was this the first game?
This was our fourth. One got rained out, and I think we are 0-3 now.
Gotcha. When's the season end?
Not soon enough. Sometime in July, I think.
So I kind of had the opposite weekend from you. Here in Newman Grove, we have the alumni basketball tournament. I'm sure you guys do too, in Murdoch, right?
We used to, but not anymore.
Used to. We're still holding on. We're still holding on to ours. And ours was kind of in a roundabout sort of way rained out in March. It's usually every March, but that's when the flooding hit, which we'll get to later in the podcast. But the flooding hit, and we decided to postpone it because guys were in the fields. You know, people were flooded out of their houses. It just was not a good time. And they picked this weekend because this is Shell Creek Valley Days here in Newman Grove. And we figured since people were going to be in town, you might as well put on the alumni basketball tournament. And between all the festivities and whatnot, playing four games. I played 4 games within 18 hours, Friday night through Saturday afternoon.
And is this full court?
Full court. And it's 22 20-minute halves as long as you keep winning. And my class won it yet again. So I had 4 games, full hours. And yeah, we pulled it off. We're becoming one of the older groups by far, but for some reason we keep winning. We got a couple sharpshooters who just can't miss. So I am sore as heck. I am not sleeping really because I cramped up a lot last night. But I am a champion.
Yes, you are. You are the Newman Grove alumni champion. You know that. There are T-shirts you're going to get to wear. Your kids are going to get to wear them when they grow
up. It's a long sleeve shirt. My wife loves them. You know, she always rolls her eyes when I bring them in at home. But, you know, come fall, winter, she's the one wearing them around the house more than me.
It's kind of funny. It reminds me, we used to play at a 3-3 tournament in Bloomfield. And a friend of mine, my wife won it 1 year, the female division. But she had a friend of ours who played basketball at Nebraska, and she's like 6'4", and it was hilarious to watch because it was like they were almost bored just because my friend Nikki would just, you know, she's a foot taller than everybody, and but they get their T-shirt just like you did.
But you know what, like, and that's the thing there is if she was the only, you know, 6'4" person on a 5-on-5. It's a little bit different than 3-on-3. 3-on-3 is basically like hold your hand up, we'll pass you the ball and you'll score. You know, that's almost asking for a murderous score. If it was 5-on-3, it'd probably be a little bit more fair, I think.
Yeah, you don't have to run up and down the floor. You know,
no, it's 3-on-3 is almost always, you know, half court on some of those things. So, wow.
Well, congratulations! I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm glad to say that I know you. You're a champion, and I am not. So, you won this weekend. My team did not.
Yeah, that's about it. And I proudly say, I was not the contributing factor in that win. I was a position player.
You played your role, and you accepted your role, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. I pick and I play defense. So anyway. Moving on to important matters, last week we talked about the updates to the Nebraska basketball roster. And with that, we've got all but 2 people returning this upcoming season, one of which even played this past year. The other one sat out. So what we're going to do here is we're going to go through briefly a rundown of the Nebraska basketball roster and kind of talk about where these guys might be. More importantly, Nate's going to give us his more expertise, insight on what he kind of thinks, you know, these guys will play, who will not play. And, it's kind of up in the air right now, wouldn't you say, for the most part, on terms of, like, what this team could be until we see what they do later this summer in Italy?
Yeah, I think.
Right, Nate?
Yeah, I think that it'd be kind of a fun game, and you know, we don't have to do it today, but just to take a guess right now, who's going to be the starting five on then their first official game. And cause it's a pretty good chance that we could get all 5 wrong. But it'd be kind of a fun game. I mean, I think there's 3, I think that would be almost for sure, but I guess we'll get to that as we run down.
So I'll go through. I'll start out with Deshaun Burke Jr. He will be a junior this year. He was a transfer in under Miles. He has stayed. Second one who had actually saw game time last year was Thor Bajarsson, or Thor, as everybody calls him. Another one is Akol Arap. He was from Omaha. He went to Creighton Prep. Transfer over. He was a recruit under Miles. He stayed on under Fred. He got Delano Baton from Canada. We've got Hanif Cheatham, Kevin Cross, Samari Curtis, Charles Easley, Gervais Green, Matei Cavas, Cam, Yavon Oradurago, Jace Piatkowski, Sorry, Jace. Shamil Stevenson and Derek Walker. I was going to go through and name not only their names, I was going to go their height and their position, but I was on a roll with these names, and some of them were kind of, I butchered some, let's just be brutally honest. So
well, thank goodness for Kevin Cross and Cam Mack.
Makes our lives a little bit easy. but for the most part, Jace Bajatkowski, thank God for his dad. If he didn't play here, I'd probably would have butchered that too. But, you know, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 guards and 1, 2, 3, 4 forwards. And some of these guards probably go back and forth. You know, and remember when the last few months or last couple months, people were complaining that we're getting too many short forwards. Well, the tallest, let's see, we've got a 6'8 in Derek Walker, 6'9 in Oradrago, who's from France, as we like to remind everybody. And also, he's going to be playing at the age of 17 next year if he does play. And
I think he's still playing.
And let's see, Maciej Kavas, he's 6'8. He's technically a guard. He's from Slovenia. He's the one transfer over from, I think, Seattle, if I remember right. But most of these guys are 6'4" to 6'6" guards / forwards. So we don't have a whole lot of height here. And size-wise, all these guys are roughly around 190, 200. Some of these guys get up, you know, 250, 260, but it's not the biggest roster out there right now. Some of them will fill. But, I mean, just face value, what are your thoughts?
Well, I read, I want to give him credit, and I'm Jacob Padilla of, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but from Hail Varsity. If you want an idea of how short we might be this next coming year, he suggested that Shamil Stevenson could be a 4 or 5 next year.
And he's 6'6", 245. So in other words, he's got the weight on him.
Yeah,
well, more so than most of these guys, but he's a junior, he's got experience. God, he might be the 5, huh?
Oh, that's I don't know. I can't see it. I mean, if you're 245 and you're 6'6", I could see maybe you're put him at a 4 and hope he's just really physical and that he could rebound at that position and just give up, you're going to give up height at that point, but as we like to say, you know, they have to guard us too. So whoever Shamil Stevenson might be guarding on the other end, they likely will have to guard him on that, unless they're, unless they want to go zone. So that's, you're kind of giving up, you're giving up a ton of height. And that's been my concern for a long time with Hoiberg. Since we've been getting all these guards, I'm like, okay, so who's going to guard the big guy from Purdue? You know, because I know
the
I
big
don't know
guy
who,
one.
I can't. No, yeah. Oh, I know they seem to just keep on recycling them. So I'm thinking that the kid from France, Yvonne, Oadrago or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he might be starting on day one. Because he is so physical, he is
6'9". He's right now 260 pounds. That could fluctuate. He's only 17 years old.
Yep, and that's that's crazy. He's been playing the FIBA, like you said, the FIBA tournament, and I guess he won't even be going to Italy with the team because of that tournament. And Derek Walker isn't going to be on the team. I mean, he's not going to be an active player next year.
He sits out.
Yeah. So then it's gonna be Kevin Cross, Matei Kavas, and like you already said, he's a guard, he's a shooter. I mean, a 46% 3-point shooter in that area. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're gonna ask him to guard down low. He's 200 pounds.
6'8", 200 pounds. He's got good numbers, but you're gonna see a lot of him. Yeah, I would definitely agree. You're definitely gonna see a lot of him. Now, here's another thing we got to take into consideration with this and his roster, Fred Hoiberg's roster and his size, is that is we're going to see a different type of offense than we have historically seen in Nebraska. And more importantly, within the Big Ten, it's going to be a lot more in your face. It's going to be fast-paced. It's going to be up and down, and they're going to be shooting nonstop. And with the weakness is probably going to be the flip side of what we're used to in Nebraska, and that is going to be the defense, which hopefully, as we talked in the past, Doc Sadler will alleviate in the long run. But we're going to be seeing a huge shift on how our offensive philosophy is going to be. And it, at least from our standpoint, it's going to be kind of hard to gauge how these guys are going to fit into the system when we're not even sure what it's going to. I mean, we kind of know what it's going to look like, especially if you look back at the old Iowa State footage from when Fred was there. But, you know, I wouldn't look at the NBA footage that he's done the last few years and try to get an idea. I mean, you can get a rough idea in the offense, but we're talking about totally different players in a totally different league. So it'll, you know, I mean, maybe the size will work out well considering how fast these guys are going. I mean, the bigger you are, you know, the harder a fast-paced, quick game is on the body. Am I right?
Yeah, you're going to ask. I mean, a lot of times when you're coaching, you want to control the pace, or the other team's going to force you to control the pace. Or the other team's going to force you to play at their pace. And so that's going to be a real big deal for Hoiberg in his first year. Is he going to be able to control the pace? Is our team's going to be able to slow them down? Because, you know, I'm going to pull my hair out all year long. I already know it. I don't really like teams that just, I say, throw up crap, you know. Because, you know, I think besides Matei Kvaas, they're 30 to 35% 3-point shooters, maybe. I shouldn't say that for sure, but so, you know, if he wants to shoot a lot of threes, which I think he's going to have to when they're so small. So if he can keep the pace up, then that'll be good for them. But, you know, I always keep on thinking about Purdue.
Wisconsin.
Yes, Wisconsin, especially Wisconsin, because they would love. If there was no shot clock, I think, you know, that's the type of pace they want to play. So
it's terrible to watch, but it's effective.
Yes,
I think so. Sorry. Anybody out there who enjoys watching Wisconsin play basketball?
I think Wisconsin basketball is kind of like old Nebraska football. There's our football reference, by the way, Greg. And because I don't think old Nebraska football was really super fun to watch, but it was really effective. You know, just the running the ball.
Tell me I'm wrong, because I just kind of indirectly corrected a national writer on Twitter this afternoon, and he referenced the 1997 Nebraska team on running a triple option offense.
I saw that tweet. Yeah,
is that correct? I don't think so. Nebraska did not run. Okay, quick football side note, Nebraska ran a very basic, boring I formation with option plays within it, right?
Yeah, well, I think there's
I mean, it was stupid simple what Nebraska ran back in the 90s.
Yeah.
But it was effective, and they basically enforced their will upon teams, and that's how they made it work.
Yeah, and that's what kind of Wisconsin basketball does.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, when it comes to coaching kids, you know, and I have not coached college basketball, so I'm not even going to try to act like I know, but you can either do one or two things really well, or you can try to do a whole bunch of things, like a whole bunch of set plays, and then do them okay. You know, I grew up playing in a system where we did essentially one thing, and we did it really well, you know, and now some of the coaches I've coached with run a lot of sets. And Wisconsin, I think, I haven't watched enough of them, but I just have a feeling that what they do it really well. And sometimes it's really boring to watch. And we'll find out. Yeah, I'd say Purdue and Wisconsin make me nervous, but, I mean, that's way down the road.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've got a non-con that we're not even sure about right now.
Yeah, I think Creighton's... Is it Creighton's the only one we know, maybe?
Right, and we're not playing in one of the challenges.
Yeah, I think it's because we play at Creighton. I think.
Yeah.
Because it's the
Big Ten. Played it in last year. I can't remember. Yeah, I think it's the Big Ten Big East one that was announced about a week ago, and Nebraska was not one of the teams involved.
You know, but, and kind of going back to Hoiberg's style, there was a quote in the paper by Doc Sadler talking about, you know, what Sadler brings to the team. And he said he got to Iowa State, and he said Hoiberg spent the entire practice on offense. And, I mean, if that gives you any indication, you know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to do offense really well. Yes, it did.
And it worked well in the Big 12, especially back then.
Yep.
Because other teams were similar-minded. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if anybody's followed Nebraska basketball from the transition from the Big 12 to the Big 10, the style of play is different. It's more akin to the Purdue-Wisconsin versus, you know, you think of what Kansas does, what Kansas State used to do. I'm trying to think. Oklahoma State, we kind of saw a little bit longer. A lot more offensive-based system, right?
Yeah, you might know better about that than I do, because it's been a while.
I'm going off. I mean, it's been a while. I follow, you know, I watch Big 12 basketball now. I'm trying to remember how it was back then, but I remember the transition, and it was a lot slower, like you said. Wisconsin, I'm sure, and Wisconsin's not the only one who probably wishes that there was no shot clock.
Well, if Hoiberg has spent his entire practice on offense, I'm wondering if Tim Miles spent his entire practice on defense. Because,
I know Doc Sadler did when he was head coach.
Those were brutal. Oh, to watch that. And see, Wisconsin and Purdue can get away with it because they can get, you know, studs to come play for them. Who can get their own shot and who can score it. Where Doc Sadler is just getting every ounce of talent he can out of the kids he's getting. But you know, they're going to play defense. And they're going to play hard. So that's why I think Doc Sadler was a huge hire for Nebraska. We all love him, you know, and he seems to like Nebraska. And he's not here because he used to be here. You know, he's here because he could coach defense. And I think Hoiberg, it might just let him be the defensive coordinator, essentially. So, you know, I guess we're supposed to be talking about the roster, but that kind of, you know.
No, this is the stuff we need to know. The better we understand the type of offense, the type of defense, the type of play Nebraska's going to do, the better off in the long run we are going to understand how these players are going to interact. So I think this tangent that we just did will be beneficial. I will have an article later in the week on coordination, just kind of a rundown overall the players in this offense. So, I mean, this is kind of a primer for that. But, you know, I mean, for the folks who don't follow Big Ten basketball that closely, who are kind of new to Nebraska basketball, especially on this podcast network, you know, we want to enlighten you guys to the point to where you have an idea of how this team's going to be. Because, to be honest, and we kind of said at the beginning of this podcast, this year is going to be kind of up in the air. And I know a lot of people are really excited, and there's a lot of hope and, you know, a lot of belief that Fred Hoiberg is going to make this into a great program. But, I mean, to be honest, and until I see them in Italy later this summer, I think this is going to be a rough transition this first year, especially considering a lot of these Big Ten teams, there's some loss in it, but the Big Ten is going to be another good conference next year.
Yeah, it probably will be every year. And I find it somewhat attractive, you know, as far as, you know, you're going to get to see good teams every week, you know, two or three times a week, but it's tough. And, you know, Tim Miles sent out that tweet, that was a couple weeks ago, how many coaches remained after, you know, since when he started. And I think there was five.
Yeah, there was five. Yeah. And I think was that before or after Michigan was coachless?
That was after, because I remember, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, you assume that all of them were fired, but then you're like, oh, wait, Michigan's coach went to the NBA. Wisconsin's old coach.
Retired.
Yeah, retired. You know, so it's not as bad, but it's tough. You know, it's tough.
Yeah. No, it'll be an interesting year. And John jumping up to coach the Cavaliers was kind of surprising, but you know, it's going to leave a little bit of a hole considering I have no idea how good of a coach Juwan Howard's going to be for Michigan. He's a name. He's an old school alum, but I think the power that Michigan's been the last couple years is going to be down a little bit, but there's plenty of talent within the conference that I think pick it up a little bit. But yeah, no, it's as of right now, I see this is going to be a tough slate for Nebraska, regardless of who they play and win. We have an entire roster minus one guy who played last year. We're going to have to get to know everybody brand new. We're going to learn basically a crash course in the non-con over their strengths, their weaknesses. Hopefully we have some teams that we play this year. I usually hate playing the North, South, East, State, Tech schools, you know, that pop up out of nowhere. But this is one of those seasons where we're...
Patrick? Really...
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Garrett Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hey. By the way, I think this is a great opportunity to support our friends, the Five Heart Podcast.
The wonderful Five Heart Podcast. We've both been on that podcast multiple times in the past.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. Greg's been podcasting for a while. He's kind of the boss of our network.
Right? I should say a long time ago. Yeah, he spent time out in Chattanooga, Nebraska, dude. He's been in the heartland, like the real heart of Nebraska, the panhandle.
Yeah, I think he did Greg's radio.
He does good work, huh?
Yeah, he did radio out there. You can tell his voice. You know, he's like Five Heart Podcast. You know, I can't do it, but
yeah, he's great. No, I can't either. I'm not even going to try. No, he's got a great voice for doing this.
Yeah, and then, you know, then there's Haas, who I finally got to meet in person last week. And he knows all the X's and O's about football. You know, I might know a little bit here and there about basketball X's and O's, but Haas is on a different level, you know, when it comes
Haas,
to football.
Haas lives and breathes it. He's been with us for, I think, about 3 years now. And he's done a great breakdown of every game Nebraska football's played over the past few years. And he now that he's on the podcast with Greg, it's kind of taken it to a new level because you can kind of dive in a little deeper when you're on a podcast like this. So, no, listen, if you don't already listen to Five Heart, oh, yeah, and it's a three-man show. Our fearful leader, John. John is also on there.
Yeah,
does a great job. He's exactly who you want when it comes to Peanut Gallery, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's funny. It kind of keeps him on, you know, you think that the way, you know, he's just going to let the podcast go out of control. But he's like, no, come on, guys. Let's, you know, let's get back on the road, you know. And, well, he's great.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. And if it wasn't for them, we probably would have not started here, or at least have had the guidance to get our podcast up. Greg and his team do a great job. So, you know, if you're not already listening to the Five Heart Podcast, please do. They do a great job. And the more you listen to them, the more you listen to us, the more shows like this we can do. So, yeah. No, they shouldn't be upset with us then, should they, anymore?
Nope. But... you know, we are competing in a sense, you know.
in a way, but we're on the same network. So, you know, it's, you know, the more the merrier. You know what would be great is if we could get our baseball writer Keith to start doing this.
Oh,
or even our new volleyball writers. We got two new volleyball writers.
Yeah, I would love to listen to Keith do baseball.
If he could do a baseball podcast, I think that'd be awesome.
It would have to be explicit, you know, that because he would swear 4 or 5 times a minute, which I think would be perfect for some people. So, he'd be great.
Our podcast is rated clean. I don't think our baseball would. But no, he'd do a great job. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he writes clean, but in our Slack chat room, it's like he lets you know what he thinks, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And it's more than, I mean, he's a very honest, truthful guy. But no, that, I mean, it would be cool to do if Corn Nation could come up with 1 or 2 more podcasts, because we've got good writers, and if we could just transport those into a vocal setting. But then again, you know what? A lot of people who can write can't do radio or vice versa, you know, or podcasting. So, you know, maybe it wouldn't transition over, but we definitely have the hive mindset to pull it off. You know, we've got good people on our team who can do this. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. If we can show progress in this, I think we might be able to pull one of those coordination writers up to do this again too. So.
Well, we're getting close to the end. I think we do have one more topic I'd like your opinion on.
Knock it out of the park, sir.
So, what is your opinion on ham? The meat.
Ham?
Yes.
The meat? The meat? Okay, so here's the thing, guys. Earlier today, usually before we do a podcast, we kind of text back and forth saying, okay, what's the subjects? What are we going to do? And we usually try to hit on 2 or 3 topics. And the third topic I put down, because I couldn't think of anything, was ham. Nate was all in on that, because that kid loves ham, don't you?
Well, I don't know if I do, but I just love random topics. So
random topics? I'm a fan of ham. Good ham. There's a lot of bad ham out there.
Is there bad ham? I thought that's one of the things about ham that makes it great. They all kind of taste the same.
There are some hams out there that are almost too greasy.
Really? Man, I don't know if I've ever had greasy ham. I don't know. Maybe Newman Grove ham is greasy, but Murdoch ham is not. I don't know.
No, the good stuff. You know what my favorite is? My favorite is the spiral cut.
Yes. Yep. I agree.
That's the best. That's the best. You get spiral cut. It's perfectly cut. It's easy to come off. You got plenty left over for sandwiches. You got the bone in, where you got to get the bone in, and then you can use that for split pea soup later on. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm a fan of ham. You can have too much ham, because trust me, there's a lot of sodium. Am I right?
Yeah. So that's probably why it tastes so good.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's why it's great. That you can only have so much of it. But no, big fan of ham in moderation. But that's life, right? Life in moderation, and you're good.
Yeah. So you know, for a hot take. Ham's great. Turkey's awful. I hate turkey. Yeah, I hate turkey. I think there's nothing redeeming. There's no redeeming qualities about it. It's awful. It's a Thanksgiving. I mean, I just get sides.
Greatest holiday.
Yeah. No.
Next to Arbor Day.
You know what?
Really, you don't like turkey. I love turkey.
I think. Ham should be at Thanksgiving, and then Christmas Eve should be ribeyes.
Or prime rib.
Prime rib, yeah, that's fine. Christmas Day, then you could do ham again. I don't know. Just do whatever you want. Just get rid of the turkey.
Get rid of turkey. Never. Have you ever gone out and gone hunting turkey and eating it?
No, I have not. No. I've just only had turkey at Thanksgiving.
It's wonderful. I love turkey. Okay, ham. Go back to ham. This is a divisive topic on the internet. What are your thoughts on Hawaiian pizza?
Oh. Okay, I like fruit. I don't like fruit on anything, like anything. Maybe like a fruit salsa, but don't put fruit on any of my food. I'll eat it on the side. You know, I like pineapple. I do not like pineapple on my pizza. Yeah.
So you're a hard no.
I am a very hard no. I will pull that off. Other than that, it's okay. We can still kind of taste it. But
Yeah, pineapple's a very strong taste. You can't just pick it off and eat.
No, it's kind of like pickles. You know, you can take all the pickles off you want, but you're still going to taste them when you're. Because my wife will put pickles on my food or on her food, because then she knows I'm not gonna, you know, if it's leftovers, I'm not gonna eat it. Because
that's how we are with hot sauce in my house. I put hot sauce on it.
Very smart. I love hot sauce. So we can talk about hot sauce.
I could do an entire episode on hot sauce. Hot sauce and basketball.
So what? Really quick, what's your favorite hot sauce?
Oh God, I hate these questions. It varies so much. I like so many different types of hot sauces and different hot sauces for different foods, different occasions.
Can I have eggs?
Eggs. Oh. Eggs is great. One of my favorites for eggs is probably Cholula.
Okay.
Probably Cholula for eggs. How about you, eggs?
Eggs. Secret Aardvark sauce, I think that's what it's called.
You're going to get funky. You're going to get boutique, aren't you? Okay. You're going to get stuff that everybody's got to look up. All right. I can pull out that stuff.
Here's a hot sauce that I bought, and it's okay. It's just really strong. It's called Colon Cleanser or Colon Cleaner. It really wasn't that hot, but...
A lot of those big name ones are disappointing, aren't they?
Yeah. The Secret Aardvark sauce is actually really good. And then I like Sriracha.
Sriracha is good. Sriracha is good, too. Yeah, let's plan on doing an entire one on hot sauces. And what we'll do is we'll each bring our like top five hot sauces, and okay. We'll not only explain the hot sauce, but we'll explain how we like to properly use it.
I think that'd be great.
It's gonna be a long summer, man.
Yeah, you know, we need sports, especially with baseball ending. Oh, heartbreak, right? But
we were gonna talk a little bit more baseball tonight, but we can always do that next week.
Yeah, I just want to say I was following on Twitter, and then I got the idea, oh, wait, I have DirecTV, so I could jump on my computer, and I could watch it on ESPN3. And so I turned it on, and there are three outs left. And then that's all I get to watch are, you know, Oklahoma State come back and just tear the hearts out of all the – that was brutal. But now we can talk about it. Maybe we can get Keith on. He could – you know.
Yeah, I'll try to pull Keith on. If Five Heart doesn't, we'll steal him.
Yeah, I hope they do.
Historically, that's been a Five Heart thing. Five Heart's been kind of not just football, mainly football, but they've been all encompassing for all Nebraska sports. So maybe if they don't, we'll try to pull Keith in.
I'd love to hear his thoughts, especially about Erstad, because not everyone agrees on Erstad, and especially even at Coronation in our chat room, there are many disagreements on Erstad. So, and he has
highly uneducated in my mind, but yeah, no, a lot of different views on Erstad.
Well, I think that's good for tonight, unless you got other,
man.
Yeah, at least you got other. I mean, I got thoughts on ham, but really quick, one of the best things about ham is like I went to Aldi's this weekend and they have a packet of ham. It's like, you know, like pretty thick. All I have to do is throw it on the grill for like 5 minutes, and it's got the grill marks, and it's great. So that's all I got.
I guess I'm going to Aldi. Thanks, folks.
All right, have a good one.